This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. On this program, we assess Western Wisconsin's electorate heading into the fall elections. Democrats, Republicans, the Tea Party, political analysts, they'll all weigh in during this next hour. But first, two Republicans are running in next Tuesday's primary elections, hoping for a shot to unseat incumbent 3rd District Congressman Democrat Ron Kind in November. Steve Rysom has this preview of the GOP contest for Western Wisconsin's 3rd District.
Dan Kopanky is well known in the La Crosse area, not just because he's the state senator of the 32nd District for the past 6 years. He also owns the La Crosse Loggers, a college developmental league baseball team. He announced last summer that he's running for Congress and has been campaigning up and down the 19 counties in western Wisconsin ever since. He hits events like the opening of the La Crosse Irish Fest.
It's another reason why we love this area, and it's so many people working together to pull off a festival like this. It just doesn't happen overnight, and it's a lot of fun, too. So enjoy yourselves this weekend. I'm glad to be here, and take care.
Kopanky points to a strong grassroots campaign that he hopes will push him through the primary and onto the general election, where he hopes to take on longtime Democratic incumbent Ron Kind. He says it will take a good ground game to win.
I need to be in all over in 19 counties, and being at festivals like this throughout the 19 counties, I can't hit them all because of logistics and travel, but I hit as many as I can.
Among those 19 counties, Kopanky says he's heard concerns that government spending is out of control.
China's become our banker, and people out here in La Crosse and in the 3rd District are scratching their heads saying, how did this ever happen that we got this far? So we need to have fiscal constraint. We just need to stop spending money that we don't have.
Kopanky says people are concerned about the high unemployment rate. He says the stimulus funds failed to turn the jobless rate around. Kopanky has also been busy raising money. He says many people are believing a Republican can finally defeat the Democrat incumbent, Ron Kind.
When people get that sense that I can win, well, they climb on board with their checkbooks and also with grassroots-type help.
The way Kopanky spends his money has suddenly become an issue in the congressional race. In the last 2 weeks, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin accused Kopanky of using money from his baseball team's foundation to pay off some personal debts. Democrats recently filed a complaint with the Government Accountability Board alleging Kopanky used money from the foundation, set up to accept donations from companies that lobby the state legislature, money he's not supposed to profit from, to pay for improvements at Copeland Park, where his baseball team plays. Kopanky repaid the money, saying the deal wasn't up to IRS code. It's unclear if the Government Accountability Board will rule on the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's complaint before the primary. Kopanky's Republican primary opponent, Bruce Evers, would only say Kopanky has admitted to an ethics violation, and that is troublesome. Evers refused to go further in his criticism of Kopanky, saying he doesn't run a campaign that's based on negativity. Instead, Evers is trying to put his best foot forward by talking and shaking hands with potential voters to help them see that he is the guy who can beat Ron Kind.
I'm Bruce Evers. I'm running for Congress. And we're just out meeting and greeting people this morning.
Evers of Holman is a financial advisor with a small war chest, mostly his own money. He spends hours introducing himself in communities throughout the 3rd District. This morning, he steps into a La Crosse realtor's office.
You've probably never heard of me. I'm sure you haven't.
Nope.
But if you don't mind, I'm an independent conservative Republican, but don't hold that against me.
Well, Dan Kopanky has been running for Congress for more than a year. Evers waited until last March to declare his candidacy. Evers says he's running because he's disappointed in Kopanky. He calls him a nice guy, but Evers says Kopanky doesn't seem to get specific about the nation's problems.
He talks about the issues, but he doesn't have a solution. I mean, anybody can throw rhetoric. I'm going to be bold. Okay, how are you going to be bold? What does that mean? I can say, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be fierce. No, what does that mean?
Evers says he's not afraid to express where he stands on hot-button issues, like immigration.
We have laws in this country, and those people are coming here illegally. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us as a country to have those people sent home, because they are here illegally.
If people disagree, Evers says he's willing to talk about it. Evers is also open on what his priorities would be if he's elected. He says the U.S. needs to stop spending money it doesn't have.
Bailouts. What a travesty that's been for our country. Stimulus. Well, depending on who you talk to, stimulus has not worked. we are still at 9.5% unemployment. And that's only if you listen to the numbers that the government gives us.
The primary election is next Tuesday, September 14th. The winner will move on to face constitutionalist Mike Crisine and Democratic incumbent Ron Kind in the November election. Steve Rysom, Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. If there's a new component heading into this year's midterm elections, it may well be the Tea Party. Former La Crosse Tribune political reporter and opinion page editor Dick Mile recently sat down with La Crosse Liberty Coalition President Jake Speed and La Crosse County Democratic Party Chair Vicki Burke to talk about what the Tea Party's impact might be. Speed began by describing what the Tea Party movement is all about.
The movement really is based upon grassroots, local people getting together, discussing what's important to them. What we do here at the La Crosse Tea Party is we are primarily focused on education. We talk about government's function. We talk about the different roles of federal government, state government, even down to county and local town and city governments, and the difference between them, basically how they should be conducting themselves in running our communities. One of the main reasons that we actually probably got the movement going was people were talking to their TV sets and the TVs weren't listening. There just seemed to be a situation rising in the country that's been brewing for many, many years. Representatives are just not representing the people anymore.
Tell us about the issues that have galvanized people.
The misnomer that we are anti-government and anti-tax is just absolutely not true. We know that we need to pay taxes, but what we're looking for is a government that is responsible and spends money according to their authority. And
sure, but you clearly want lower spending.
Well, absolutely. But we have a constitution and for a federal government, and there's 18 enumerated powers in that constitution, and the government spends money well outside of those enumerated powers. And so what we'd like to do is have them, before they write a bill, really ask two questions. One, is it constitutional? And two, can we afford it?
Now, Vicki, as an official from the La Crosse County Democratic Party, you probably have a different view of what the Tea Party is.
First of all, we don't really see the Tea Party as being nonpartisan. And the Tea Party likes to bill itself as being nonpartisan, but for the most part, it's probably 95% Republican voters. And secondly, we don't see it really as reflective of the general population. It tends to be, as we look at the Tea Party, perhaps probably more older, certainly white Americans, and not as reflective as the general population. You know, given the fact that with President Bush, when his budget went over $1 trillion, I think to $1.7 trillion, where was the Tea Party then? And, you know, where was the Tea Party when the Medicare bill was passed? Certainly the largest expansion there for seniors. And it just seems that suddenly the Tea Party rears its head when we have an election in which Barack Obama was elected, and then all of a sudden we get this movement. So, you know, it's just a question of where was the Tea Party before, and is it more of an anti-Obama administration? Is that the thing that has brought them forward?
Well, let's address the partisan issue. It seems pretty clear to me from attending these events that this is a conservative movement. It's a movement of people who want lower taxes, who want spending, you know, at a different, lower level than it is now, and who often oppose some administration initiatives such as the stimulus and the health care package, both of which involve lots of money. How do you answer the issue of whether this is a partisan?
Probably the first question is, what is a definition of conservative? You know, we've done a poll on our signed-up membership with the La Crosse Tea Party on our website, and we discovered that only about 45% of our members are actually Republicans. There's a very large independent group, and then there's other people who are libertarian and constitution. And we have Democrat members also. It is a small
percentage. Do you have many of those?
It's a small percentage. Mm-hmm. It's less than 10%. You know, that's part of the question. The big thing that's really brought us together is our Constitution. We're a country ruled by law. And we're not ruled by man. We're seeing leaders from both parties in the past who have loaded the circuit courts with judges who don't seem to be following the Constitution anymore. California is a perfect example of that. When you have 7 million people vote for a constitutional amendment and you have one judge who can turn around and overrule the will of the people.
Oh, sure, but that isn't
over yet. No, it's, No, it's not. But the idea is that that is something that's happening. And then the end result could be 9 people, but that one shouldn't even go to the U.S. Supreme Court because of the simple fact is that's a state's issue. The state constitution is it's a constitutional issue of the state. So whether the federal Supreme Court can even look at that case is still up in the air on that one.
I understand that Senator Kopanky and Representative Hipsch are both members of the local Tea Party, yet have received no endorsement from the Tea Party. And also, you know, Ron Johnson, who is thought of as being kind of the darling of the Tea Party here in Wisconsin as a Senate candidate. He criticizes constantly the taking of money from the government, but has participated in subsidy programs himself to the tune of $4 million. Now, I will indicate to you that that was a loan, really, but the investors participated in that and bought those bonds because they, even though there was a lower interest rate return, they were able to get those tax-free.
Ron Johnson isn't here to talk to answer that question right now. And, you know, we do not endorse candidates. What we do is we provide information, and then we believe that people should make their own choices. We do not think that it's right for a political party, whether it's Republican or Democrat, to endorse a candidate before the primaries because we believe it is up to the people to decide who their candidates should be who are in the final runoff for the election for November. The parties have too much control. The people need to be the ones who make those decisions. And when you have a party who endorses a candidate before the primary, that candidate gets party money. The media takes and follows that endorsement, and those are the only people that they're talking about. There's another candidate in that race, and his name is Dave Westlake. Dave is a very good candidate. And nobody's talking about Dave, and Dave is probably a better qualified candidate than Ron Johnson.
You had mentioned spending that goes on that violates the Constitution. Could you give me one or two examples of that?
Let's look at education. Mm-hmm. The federal government has no authority in the Constitution to regulate education. You know, I think that we need to have a strong education system here. But you know what? Education needs to be local. It needs to be handled within the state. The Constitution here in Wisconsin mandates that the government provides education for people between the ages of 4 and 20 years old. And what we need to be able to do is have a good, strong education system here because what works in Wisconsin may not work in California. Or what works in California certainly probably will not work in Wisconsin or New York or any of these other states. Mm-hmm. We have our own issues here. Wisconsin is a state unique upon itself. So I think Wisconsin needs to be responsible for its own education. And when you take money from the federal government, like the No Child Left Behind law, I think it was terrible legislation. Wisconsin, from research I've done on its history, has been a fantastic state for education. And its decline in education has started really about the time the No Child Left Behind law was passed. past. And the other problem with that is for every dollar of tax money that goes out of Wisconsin, we only bring 80-something cents back. So that money is being redistributed to other states, and that's not where it should be spent. If we're going to have – when we have budget issues here in Wisconsin, providing good education for our children, which is extremely important, and a lot of that money is not being able to be afforded because the federal government's taking it and giving it to someone else, I think that's a problem.
We probably have bipartisan agreement on that particular issue. Vicki, as a retired teacher – what's your response to the idea that the Federal Department of Education is unconstitutional? I assume that's what you're
absolutely
saying.
Well, you know, I think that the federal government has a role in education. Certainly as an educator, I think that we make decisions locally about what's happening in our particular district and in our school and in our state that we have to. But there are some issues I can think of related to students with disabilities, for example, mm-hmm. that the federal government has mandated certain education for them, and the state as well. But I think that's there is a role for the federal government in some aspects of education. But I do also think that the states have a greater role in that determining for their own particular state. I'm certainly not a fan of No Child Left Behind because it was one of those things that came in with a lot of requirements and very little financial support.
There was a gathering at the La Crosse Center, I think last year, where John Stossel spoke. Was that an official Tea Party event? Or
no.
I know Americans for Prosperity was involved in that.
Nope. We didn't have anything to do with the event. Americans for Prosperity is they're their own group. We had some early associations with them, and I decided that really they were not conducive to what it was that we were trying to do. They had an agenda that we did not agree with.
They've funded Tea Party activities
around the
country.
Absolutely, and they still fund Tea Party activities. We just decided that because they are really pro-Republican, and we don't want to be – we are nonpartisan here. We absolutely are. I've never been a member of any political party, and I never will be. And the simple fact is that we here – decided we wanted to provide education. We wanted to be as central as we possibly can and only participate and align ourselves with education. We don't want to align ourselves with large groups or anything like that. We don't support any of those groups. We're not members of any of those groups. And like I say, we've made adjustments. We don't always start off perfect, but as we do these things longer, we get better at what we do.
Who are some of the leaders?
Well, we have volunteers. Mm-hmm. We have local citizens who, you know, it pretty much rotates through. Some people will go ahead and I'm the president of mm-hmm. La Crosse Liberty Coalition. Okay, I run the thing.
Is there a vice president? And
No, not at this point. Mm-hmm. That may come down the road, but right now, I'm the leader, I'm the organizer, and we do have some people that come in and do some volunteer work. We've actually had we've had one lady of color who has been one of our main volunteers who's worked with us. But a lot of the people that we do come and volunteer, sure, some of them are Republicans, a lot of them are independents. That's, you know, just where we're at with this right now.
There was just a story in the New Yorker magazine this week that talked about funding of groups that then go on to fund movements like the Tea Party and the Tea Party in many parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of oil company money, mm-hmm. specifically from Charles and David Koch, who own the privately held Koch Industries, a Wichita-based
firm. Which is Americans for Prosperity.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why we disassociated ourselves with them, because this is really – it needs to remain grassroots. Mm-hmm. It can't have a head, and it needs to be local citizens talking about local things who also talk about national things, because national – you know, it's top up, bottom down.
Sure. So in your view, the Tea Party movement – is a series of local movements?
Absolutely.
As opposed to a national?
Well, you know, there may be, you know, they had a national Tea Party convention. Turnout was terrible because mm-hmm. we don't – it's not something that we support as local organizers. I did go to the 9/12 rally that was in Washington, D.C. last year. There was estimated by D.C. police to be about 2.1 million people in attendance.
So let's give Vicki an opportunity to respond to some of the things that you've talked about.
What I see here is certainly a local group. I don't see that it is affiliated with anything national. I don't see that the local Tea Party has that much of impact on local elections. And quite frankly, in some of the areas where Tea Party candidates have been elected, it may bode better for Democrats in the general election than if it had been another candidate because of the extreme nature and the extreme positions. I'm talking about on the national level, okay. Extreme positions that they have taken. And on the local level, I don't see the candidates so much tying themselves to the Tea Party movement. You know, they might belong to it, but they're not really tying mm-hmm. themselves to that.
So you see, at least locally, just a minimal impact
right.
of the Tea Party. And that's really the big question is, what impact is this likely to have, both locally and nationally?
Well, like I said, the beginning of forming committees to talk about things, that's a step in the right direction. You know, we've spent a lot of time sort of feeling out what it is that exactly is our role. We've just had a lot of people who are frustrated, who've come together and says, geez, you know, what do we do about trying to improve things? And most of it is, you know, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to take action.
As an insider in this movement, what do you think is the national impact? What's that likely to be in this election?
They're asking questions. They're looking at candidates who have a voting record. They're looking mm-hmm. at whether or not these people are going to follow the party or if they're going to follow the people. Because we don't elect representatives to represent a party. We elect representatives to represent the people. And people in the past have been, you know, I vote R, I vote D. And I think that's really starting to change.
La Crosse Liberty Coalition President Jake Speed and La Crosse County Democratic Party Chair Vicki Burke discussing the La Crosse area's Tea Party movement. Our moderator is former La Crosse Tribune political reporter and opinion page editor Dick Mile. There's much more to this conversation, and you can hear it in its entirety at our website, wpr.org/lacrosse. Still to come in this edition of Newsmakers, just what direction are the political winds blowing this fall among the electorate? Democratic Congressman Ron Kind and Republican State Assembly member Mike Hipsch sit down with UW La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim as well as Dick Mile to try and answer that question.
It's going to be a very difficult year for Democrats, mainly because they're in control of it all.
Stay with us. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto.